Cloud City. The Honest Truth. With Benita Vergatini.
Smile 90.4 FM. Joining us this evening to examine whether South African malls are truly serving their communities or merely surviving, as a new mall in Limpopo raises questions about how these spaces could evolve into vital, sustainable community hubs in an increasingly digitized shopping era, is Director and Head of Real Estate and Conveyancing at CMS South Africa, Kagiso Mashlangu. Ms. Mashlangu, good evening and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much, Benita.
It's an absolute pleasure. Just by way of context, Kagiso, what do you think is the role of a shopping mall?
You know, malls play such an important role, right, in our communities. And it's quite an interesting asset class because we're finding that people don't just want to go and shop and that's it. And I think for them to survive, it's becoming increasingly important for malls to be developed in such a way that they serve other needs. So whether it's places to meet up with friends, go to a library, or do other things than just going and, you know, buying milk and bread, it's becoming quite important for their survival to look at how are we serving the communities that we have developed in order to ensure their survival.
With so much competition and so much, dare I say, distraction as well, there needs to be so much more on offer for consumers, notwithstanding as well so many of the economic challenges. That ball up that I referred to, that in Limpopo, the Madombidza Mall in Makado is a monster. Over 9,000 square meters with over 3,000 shops. Clearly, they would have done their due diligence and research, but my word, are malls of these sizes sustainable?
Yeah, and I think to your point, Benito, is that for them to be sustainable, right, they need to serve the communities they're in. And I think when you look at international trends, malls are becoming quite innovative about the spaces and using the spaces that they have. So you're finding that whilst you might have a big mall, and we're finding, I mean, we've seen malls in South Africa get into trouble, right? And have high vacancies. It then becomes important to think outside of the box to say, well, if I'm going to have such a huge space, and I've done my due diligence, what other things can I add to make sure that I have the right tenant mix, that I have the right, you know, footprint in terms of people coming into the mall. And you're seeing innovations where those spaces are spaces where you might have a mixed development within a mall. So people either living there or a working space, such as office space. You find that people are also developing those spaces to accommodate sporting facilities. And really also looking at what local businesses there are in those communities that can be attracted within those malls in order to be sustainable.
Yeah, so mixed use features, as you described. I remember having a conversation about the growth of paddle in the country, and around these mixed use features, for example, the Mall of Africa, I'm sure you're aware, has a couple of paddle courts there as well. So it's not just about shopping, it's a destination venue, it's a social hub then, Kagiso.
Exactly. And that's correct. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all feeling the pinch, right? From the developers to the owners of these properties, to the shops that are servicing communities. So it becomes quite important to look at what mix would serve the community I'm in. And I mean, one example that, you know, I was reading about, interestingly, you find that with sporting facilities, you can even have a local, you know, team do their practices in spaces that you would typically see on an open field, but being developed within a mall space.
Absolutely. And you get a team like the Springboks doing that, and my word, you've got traffic for days.
Imagine.
What about power generation? Is this an area that malls can also leverage to their advantage?
I definitely think so. I think, you know, we've had some relief in terms of load shedding in the months. But I mean, at the end of the day, we are still under pressure from a power perspective because of the areas that, you know, these malls service. I think there is an opportunity to look at power generation, not just for the mall itself, but just to see how malls can perhaps become suppliers of electricity, as an example, because we are seeing that space being quite competitive competitive. And I think there is room for them to play in that space.
Yeah. Foot traffic, though, is the bottom line for malls. However, that is encouraged with the mixed-use feature, for example, to build those destination and social hubs. How does one ensure that there's always foot traffic coming into your space?
I mean, that's difficult, right, Benito? Because I think the needs of the consumer change. But I think it's quite important then to make sure that you're not just building a building with water and bricks and mortar, but you're really conscious of the needs of the communities. And that happens on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. So it's not just doing a due diligence at the beginning of a development, but I think that malls is quite important to always tap into what's new, what's happening, and what needs are they seeing from consumers.
So it's a sense of not actually being complacent, as you point out, and in fact being quite agile in shifting to those new demands, new trends that consumers are demanding. In that regard, do you think that the stores, the tenants within a mall, can also play a role in promoting that foot traffic by improving their customer experience?
Exactly. I think that is also important. And that's why malls are such an ecosystem, right? Because as a tenant or as a store yourself, you need to make sure that you are also, you know, making sure that you're drawing the right customers and customers within your shop, and you're keeping them there longer than just for them to do their grocery shopping or clothing shopping. And we're seeing quite innovative ideas coming up with the use of AI and with the use of people not necessarily having to wear every clothing item, but, you know, where you have an augmented AI feature where I can try on clothes without actually trying on clothes. So I think it's quite interesting the direction that we're moving, and it's going to be quite important to see how even shop owners are moving to innovate in order to stay sustainable and to keep the traffic within malls.
It seems to be the name of the game. One has to constantly innovate and be willing to innovate, particularly with competition like e-commerce. Yes, it's somewhere in the region of 6 to 8% of the market so far, but it's only going to grow. What strategies do you feel developments can take in ensuring that they remain attractive given the competitive nature that e-commerce presents?
As we've mentioned, you know, it looks like a small number, but I think it's it's a rising number. And I think that malls then need to adapt and be conscious about, you know, that rising number. And I think even with the use of e-commerce, those spaces such as malls can still, you know, use e-commerce as a way of ensuring that, you know, you still have tenants who need space, for example, or shops that need space. But seeing how you can do that, even if they might not be for traffic and it's just a space for that services e-commerce transactions, as an example. Mm-hmm. So I think that adapting to the needs and adapting to the, you know, what the trends that we're seeing, especially in e-commerce, is quite important.
Lastly, Kagiso, as we're dealing with the physical space, infrastructure is key, and particularly with the foot traffic, so safety is of paramount. How can mall owners ensure that their developments remain legally and regulatory compliant?
You know, I always think there's always space in the legal fraternity and with, you know, the legal framework to ensure that it's also adaptable and makes sure that, you know, once a development happens and its use needs to change, that becomes an easy thing for a developer. So I think it's quite important that lawmakers are also conscious of, you know, what is happening on the ground and making sure that the legal frameworks that are put in place make it seamless for businesses such as malls or retail spaces to adapt into multi-use spaces in order to service the communities that they're in.
Do they have that opportunity based on your experience, Kagiso?
You know, in some respects, they do. But I mean, there's always room for improvement in that regard.
Mm. Director and the head of real estate and conveyancing at CMS South Africa, Kagiso Mashlangu. Appreciate your time and your insights, Kagiso. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
And thank you and your listeners. Thank you.
Smile. 90.4
FM. I must be blind to think that I could run away.